Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
We have two authentic ahadith. The scholars, whether from the past or our contemporary, if we consider ourselves contemporary to Sheikh Al-Albani, for example, and others, they authenticated these ahadith. They are authentic. The first of which is hadith Nu'man ibn Bashir, who narrated it from Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of them. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam structured the phases of governance, of leadership, the Muslim ummah would evolve through. And why leadership? Why leadership? Because quite frankly, without leadership, we can do nothing. And if you want to summarize the problem that the Ummah has now is the lack of leadership. Whether on a larger scale, the Imam al-Kubra, the leader of the Muslim Ummah, or whether in our own communities. That's always a problem. So without leadership, you cannot achieve a whole lot. And that's what, subhanAllah, one thing that really got me to understand hadith al-umam, yushiku an tada'a alaykum al-umam, time will come when nations will call one another against you. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, is it because of being outnumbered? Then he responded by saying, no, that's not the issue. You're many, but you're like a foam, you have no direction basically, because of the lack of leadership. That's one way to analyze this hadith or interpret it, which can be right or wrong. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam structured five phases for us. He said prophethood, meaning that I will be the leader of this ummah. And that happened for 10 years in Medina, as we know. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that this will be followed by 30 years. He named it 30 years in an authentic hadith. Khilafa Rashida for 30 years after me. Now, if we carefully trace back those 30 years, you will find us talking about Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, then Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, then Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, then Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu, and you will be surprised to find those four, they made 29 years and 6 months. So we're missing 6 months. Guess who completed the 6 months? Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiyallahu anhu. وعن أبي. Those are the 30 years. After that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the third phase to be kinship. Although we know that phase was Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, and followed by his son Yazid. Now the question here: why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describe that phase to be kinship, although Muawiyah is a companion of his, one of the scribes of the revelation? Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another authentic hadith, which is Imam Ahmad compiled, and it's authentic, hadith Abi Umama, he said, تُنْقَضُ عُرَى الْإِسْلَامِ عُرْوَةً عُرْوَةً. Basically, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, that there are certain things that hold Islam together. Al-urwa is something that holds, is like a robe or something that holds, or a hand, you know, is like something that keeps a matter firm. Now, these bonds, he called them urwa or bonds, will be untied one after another. Then he said, وَأَوَّلُ عُرَى الْإِسْلَامِ نَقْضًا هِيَ الْحُكْمُ. And the first bond which will be untied is governance. Why governance? What Muawiyah radiallahu anhu did is he passed on the khilafah to his son. Because the protocol of choosing a successor to a khalifa who is passing away, that the matter goes to a committee in the ummah, which is called what? Ahlul Halli wal Aqdi, the people who tie and untie things. So the khalifa who's passing away, who's dying, may nominate. Like Abu Bakr nominated, who? Umar. But then the matter went to what? To that committee, and they went around and asked, okay, Umar. Umar nominated 6. And he said the matter should stay in one of you. What I'm trying to say is, when you pass on the leadership of the Muslim world to your children, then that is no longer khilafah. It's no longer called khilafah. That is why the Prophet ﷺ described it to be what? Mulkan aadan, abiding kinship. But be careful, be careful. In hadith Ibn Abbas, there is another hadith that collaborate this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ described that phase to be rahmah, mercy. Like it will have mercy on the ummah. And quite frankly, if you as a historic analysis look into the achievements of the Muslim world during the Umayyad and the Abbasid, is way greater than the Khilafah al-Rashida. Think about it. Al-Khilafah al-Rashida flourished during Umar, halfway of Uthman, after that, fitan, fighting and all of that. But the Umayyad, they brought Islam, the Abbasid, they brought Islam. That is why the Prophet ﷺ described that phase to be what? Rahmah. But we're talking about technical terms here. We're talking about technical terms. If you want to call this khilafah, that's how it should be. That's how a caliph should be chosen. Not based on your preference. And quite frankly, in the Umayyad phase, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, for example, and many scholars, they consider him Khalifa Rashid. They actually consider him one of the caliphs because of his credentials. He fits one of these rightly guided, 100%. But you can't call him a caliph when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the entire phase to be mulk. You can't do that. You can't override a prophetic term with your own terms. And why I'm saying this? Why I'm saying this? Because I'm going to need this later on. And by the way, this is not my... I came across it. I researched and I came across it. I came across a book which, unfortunately, whoever translated it didn't do a good job. He translated for his own agenda. You can tell that he manipulated the translation to serve his own agenda. The book is called Al-Ahkam al-Sultaniyya, the imperial rules and verdicts, Al-Mawardi, a scholar called Al-Mawardi. That's a beautiful book that we should look at, but when I read it in Arabic. That's how it was authored, and that is why I had the first-hand understanding without the need for translation. Later on, I was made aware that it was translated, but when I looked at the translation, it's very biased to a certain trend in Islam, a certain group, political group in Islam, without going through terms. This is called mulkan aadan. Now in Hadith ibn Abbas, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added another phase to this al-mulk al-'ad. He mentioned imarah. Because we know after the khilafah, again, although I'm telling you don't call it khilafah, but I'm calling it khilafah myself, moved from Damascus when the Umayyad compromised the leadership of the Muslim world to the Abbasid, and the leadership of the Muslim world moved to Baghdad. After 100 years, we know that the Abbasid lost their centralized leadership. They started breaking into dynasties, or which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called it imara. You will find the Fatimid in Morocco, the Mamluks in Egypt, the Ayyubi, where Salah ad-Din comes from in Damascus in that area, the Tuluni, the Suljuk, different dynasties across the Muslim world. Some of them were supportive of the Abbasid, like the Suljuk. They considered to be the protectors of the Khalifa, al-Abbasi. But some of them had a very serious consequences on the Muslim Ummah, which we still suffer from until this very day. All these bid'ah that we have in the Muslim world because of that sect called al-Fatimiyin, the Fatimites. All the bid'ah that the Muslims have until this very day. We're having really a hard time getting rid of these innovations because of that dynasty of the Fatimids. And if you carefully look into their behavior in Baytul Maqdis, they are the ones who triggered the Crusades. For 500 years, Baytul Maqdis was a safe haven for the Muslims, for the Christians, for the Jews. But when the Fatimites assumed power over the Muslim world, they changed the pattern of governance which Muslims should rule by. And that triggered the Crusades to come. And that's where Salah ad-Din comes in. So the third phase we mentioned, prophethood, then Khilafah Rashida, then binding kinship. And this is the longest in the Muslim history. It lasted until the year 1924, which is the fall of the last dynasty, which is the Ottoman. I'm calling it dynasty because, again, I wouldn't like to use khilafah, although when we studied history, when you studied history, when I studied history, we study it as khilafah, al-Uthmaniyin, the Turks are caliphs. And even if you read any literature, they would call it khilafah. But technically speaking, no, it is not khilafah. It's a dynasty, it's a kinship in a way because the Prophet called it that. So those are three, we're missing two, right? Two. So what is the fourth phase? Here is the worst. And this happens to be the one that we are living for almost 100 years now. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُلْكًا جَبْرِيًّا. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again described the fourth phase to be mulk, to be kinship. But he called it tyrannical oppressive. And he did not attribute mercy to it at all. Actually, he described them to be tyrants. He described them to be tawagit, with all due respect to the people who worship the rulers. These are prophetic words. There are a lot of ahadith that talk about the awfulness of these leaders, that they are not after the welfare of the Muslim ummah. They are after the thrones, basically holding their thrones. Hadith ibn Abbas, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described them to be like donkeys eating the roots of a tree with their teeth. The roots here is the thrones. They are holding, clinging to the thrones like they are willing to eat anything. ثُمَّ يَتَكَادَمُونَ وَهَذَا وَالتَّكَادُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَكَادَمُونَ عَلَيْهَا تَكَادُمْ الْحُمُرْ. Now, This is the phase that the Ummah is living now. The Ummah is living now. Now, what will happen after that, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ. And this really shocking. That shift is shocking. The way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَهُ عَلَى مِنْهَاجِ النُّبُوَّةِ. Then you're going to go back again to Islamic governance, following the pattern of Prophet Hud. And that's the phase that we are hoping. You know, many times I always, between me and myself, I always, you know, questioned why I was born at this miserable time of the Muslim Ummah. It was like, I mean, you can't find any more miserable condition of the Muslim Ummah, like disunity, misconceptions, and, you know, it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. But quite frankly, Allah has chosen you and me to come at that phase of transitioning. You know, imagine the Muslims who were living in Mecca the last 3 years before Hijrah. Imagine, we are that phase. Those who are, you know, patient. Those who will actually lead the transition to the next phase. And how will it happen? Allah knows best. You know, right now we're having one of the AIM conferences next week, the next couple of weeks, Labor Day weekend in Colorado, talking about Yusuf and how Yusuf was transitioning or transitioned from captivity, basically from jail, to the throne through a dream. A dream which was seen by who? A kafir. The king, you know, right? You're familiar with the story, right? وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى. That was the dream that what triggered his release. Likewise, you know, don't assume that Allah has his own way of turning things around. And inshallah, Allah will make it happen. Here is why we needed to emphasize, I'm intentionally emphasizing and stressing that we should not use other terms, other titles for leaders than the prophetic titles. Now, in another authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there will be 12 caliphs heading the ummah. لا يزال أمر هذه الأمة بخير ما دام فيها 12 أميرا وفي لفظ خليفة. 12 caliphs. So total we're going to have 12 خليفة. I'm not talking about the Shia'i 12 imams. Okay, that's whole different. All right, that's not. I think they came up with this just to match this, in my opinion. That's my analysis. So if you look at these five phases, prophethood, this is called what? Khilafa. Rashida, rightly guided, right? This is called what? Kinship. This is called what? Kinship. This is called what? Khilafah. So the only way you can label someone to be a caliph is in this phase or this phase. Are you with me? Because I shouldn't override the prophetic technical terminologies here, using my own. So in that phase, how many caliphs did we get? Please. La. How many? Five. 12 minus 5 equal 7. So we're missing 7 khalifas. And the problem that we have when it comes to this phase, and I'm telling you, and I say this with agitation, if this is English, agitated, right? That's a verb, right? Furious. It was intentionally planted in the mind of Muslims the only thing they know about this phase of Islamic governance is al-Mahdi. And somehow the message was broadcasted in a manner that sent the ummah to passivity. You know that attitude, oh, inshallah, al-Mahdi is going to come and take care of things. Okay, let me take a break. No. Actually, if you carefully read that book, and I provided evidence for each one of those, you're going to find out that al-Mahdi is the final, is number 7, is the last. Because there is an authentic hadith that al-Mahdi will hand it over to Isa ibn Maryam. And he will be the one who prays behind Isa in Baytul Maqdis. And the fact that al-Mahdi is going to be in Baytul Maqdis when Isa descends, that means Baytul Maqdis is what?
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Is already liberated. Is already freed. But that's where the intention is that a lot of Muslims, they equate al-Mahdi with the liberation of Baytul Maqdis. And that's why they are staying passive about, no, Baytul Maqdis will be liberated ways before al-Mahdi. The Zionists will be kicked out of Palestine before al-Mahdi, years before al-Mahdi. And that is where the Khilafah comes in hand. طيب. So we establish by evidence now, using hadith, authentic hadith, and using some logical analogy of these hadith, the numbers. You know, numbers don't lie, like they say. 12 minus 5 equals 7, so we're waiting for 7 caliphs. Where that khilafah will be, that's another question. Where will it be? In Baytul Maqdis. When I say Baytul Maqdis, I mean what? Jerusalem, Al-Quds, Bayt Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-harami ila al-masjid al-aqsa. طيب, what is the evidence for this? We have more than one evidence, but I will use two. Just two evidences. Number one, the conversation the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with a companion by the name of Abdullah ibn Hiwala. And the hadith is compiled fi Sunan Abi Dawood. I could say Sahih Abi Dawood because the Sheikh al-Albani authenticated the hadith. Yabna Hiwala, the Prophet is addressing Yabna Hiwala. Idha nazalat al-khilafatu fi bayt al-Maqdis. When you see the khilafah descending in bayt al-Maqdis. And that term descending is a key. Because we have a group in the Ummah now, a sect, if you want to call them, who actually go around and their mission is to re-establish the Khilafah. No, the Khilafah is a grant. The Khilafah will descend when the right platform is there. So your job is to prepare what? A certain platform is like something for something to descend. You know, an airplane, right? When an airplane want to land, it needs what? Huh? Runway, and it needs what? Some guiding, you know. To likewise, but you can't just walk around, okay, let's bring the Khilafah back. Yeah, if you want to talk about it, that's, well, let's talk about like we talk about. We're talking about it now. But for you to bring the Khilafah back, you have to prepare the scene for it to descend. وفي هذا الحديث إذا نزل the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said والخلافة جائزة. Ja'iza is not permissible. The word ja'iza, you know, it could mean permissible. No, ja'iza means a prize with a Z, meaning that Allah will reward certain people with it when they prepare the scene for it. فذا بروفيت صلى الله عليه وسلم is asking Abdullah ibn Huwaylah, when you see the khilafah descending in Baytul Maqdis, فقدنت الزلازل والبلابل والأمور العظام, then the major signs of the day of judgment are here. And it is true. Al-Khilafah actually will trigger is the transition between the minor and the major signs. The Khilafah will be that transition. طيب. This is Hadith Abdullah ibn Huwaylah. Hadith Mu'adh ibn Jabal explains this Hadith. What is it? قول النبي والحديث في مسند أحمد and it's authentic. قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عمران بيت المقدس خراب يثرب. When you see بيت المقدس has عمران عمارة, that means يثرب will be deserted. That's what it means. Not like the brother in Australia said, you know, all that thing. There is a brother in Australia, Allah guide us all, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin, that he said the temple will be established. He's basically narrating the Zionist narrative of things. No. Imran Bayt al-Maqdis, just look at every school. Imran Bayt al-Maqdis, هي عودة الخلافة. The Khilafah will be restored there. Imran Bayt al-Maqdis, he said Imran Bayt al-Maqdis, that the Jews will build their temple over the Masjid al-Aqsa. كلام يعني ما. يعني ما. حتى يعني لا يقال في هذه الظروف يعني. It's not even to be said at this time. We're already psychologically defeated. We're already done. I mean, we're trying to keep up the spirit, you know. خراب يثرب. What is mean by خراب يثرب? خراب يثرب here that the people will be moving from يثرب to that place. Now remember the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned what those 12 caliphs from where? كلهم من قريش. They are قرشي. قريش. And by the way, all the smart Arab now, I tell you, all the smart Arab now, they actually move to Sham, to the Levant. All of them, the people who actually are aware of the Sunnah, they move to the Levant now. Because that's where, وفي حديث يا إخوة, أول الأمم هلاكا فارس. The first nation which will vanish from the face of this earth. And I'm not talking about the Persian race. The Persians will always exist. But the geopolitical project of Iran, the Shi'i kind of thing, that will be done. أول الأمم هلاكا فارس برجيا. The Prophet said that. Then what? ثم العرب. Then the Arab. Then the Arab. And I'm going to explain that in a minute. Why? What is the Prophet meant by that? ثم العرب. Then the Prophet said what? إلا بقايا في الشام. Except for those who what? Who travel where? To الشام. Those who go to الشام. فقد عمران بيت المقدس خراب يثرب. This is in reference to this battle they are talking about, which is Armageddon. In a nutshell, I substantiated this in my book. You know, I provided evidence. Why did I embrace this opinion? That there will be a battle between the West and the East. Iran is part of it. Russia is part of it. China is part of it. And the Zionists, this is the battle that they call Armageddon. Of course, we don't have that name in our Sunnah. That's not a prophetic name. But this battle that, subhanAllah, we could see the seed of it with the Iran and Israel exchange. But it didn't, it's not, it didn't die. Don't think it died. No, it will build up. But it's going to be like the fireball, they call it, you know, a fireball, that it will get more people involved. And why this is a key here, because it endorses the Zionist Western evangelical narrative. Mahua, listen, when the Protestant came up with the formula which aligned with the Zionist narrative, for Jesus to come back and for the messianic king of the Jew, of the Jews to rise, the following things have to happen. Number one, the Jews have to be grouped back in Bayt al-Maqdis, in the historic Palestine, and that's happened already. Number two, they have to discover the Ark of the Covenant, something that they refer to the Ark of the Covenant in the one that was referenced in the verses that you read tonight, Talut. وقال لهم نبيهم إن آية ملكه أن يأتيكم التابوت فيه سكينة من ربكم وبقية مما ترك آل موسى وآل هارون تحمله الملائكة. هذا هو Ark of the Covenant. They believe that there is a box out there. Inside it there is the staff of Musa, the Torah, and all of that. That is two. Number three is the destruction of the temple, of the Masjid al-Aqsa, and the construction of the temple. So the destruction of the Masjid al-Aqsa, and you can tell now, they've been digging, but they're not going to have time to do that. And inshallah, bi-idhnillah, time is coming closer. But number four is the key here, is the Armageddon, that battle, nuclear battle. Now, I validated this Armageddon battle with Hadith Maqtala Azeema. لا تقوم الساعة حتى تكون مقتلة عظيمة بين فئتين. Although I am fully aware and I analyze this يعني in my book that a lot of the scholars attributed this huge killing to the battle between the Sahaba, whether الجمل or whether النهروان or whether between Ali رضي الله عنه and معاوية رضي الله عنه or معركة الجمل. But if you look at the numbers, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke of huge amount of killing. The most highest number I came across regarding the dead in these battles between the Sahaba was 70,000. 70,000. طب look at World War One. From 17 to 22 millions were killed. World War II, 75 to 82 millions were killed. Number-wise, and by the way, in these battles, in these wars, there was no nuclear. All the raw bombs, conventional bombs. But they are talking about a nuclear war. Some sort of chemical war, nuclear war, which will cause the death of a lot of people. But this war will actually lead to the destruction of both the Virgin and the Zionist project. They will knock one another down. And that will enable الفئة المنصورة أو الفرقة المنصورة will enable the victorious group to emerge and come into the scene. فعمران بيت المقدس خراب يثرب وخراب يثرب خروج الملحمة. الملحمة is that fierce battle between the Muslims and the Christians world. And I'll come to this in a minute. وخروج الملحمة فتح القسطنطينية. The conquest of Constantinople. وفتح القسطنطينية خروج الدجال is the Antichrist. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant when he said to Abdullah ibn Hiwala in the first hadith, when you see the Khilafah descending in Bayt al-Maqdis, then the major signs will what? Will evolve. So this is what we were looking at. You know, the Khilafah, there will be seven Khalifa. Here is the scenario that I drafted in my book. Basically, the first thing that will happen is, like I mentioned a minute ago, is that war between the West and the East. And subhanAllah, we got this Netanyahu guy standing in the United Nations and holding a map where he has, I think he used the black and green. This is the green, this is what? The black. And this is really, and they are talking about it. You know, the funny thing is, you know, when you see false beliefs being endorsed by political leaders, people who drive this world. Trump believes in that stuff now because of that lady who preaches to him every day, although he's not a religious guy. Ronald Reagan, if you remember that president, he was a pro bono of this, big time. George Bush, the son, not the he was also a pro bono of that. But now we're having this wave of evangelical, support for this project. They consider actually the genocide and the starvation of the Muslims in Palestine, or the Palestinian in general, whether Muslim or Christians, is actually a noble cause to establish the Bani Israel in the land. But subhanAllah, this will coincide with the Allah's master plan, basically. Like I said, that this will lead to this war between the East and the West, which the Prophet ﷺ referred to be Maqtala Azim. Now, this war will happen. After it, the Khilafah will emerge. The Khilafah will emerge. Now, after that, the first three Khalifas, there will be a lot of achievements. Came across their titles. They have titles. I went through them, the seven Khalifas, by the way, and what their achievements will be. It's mentioned, although most of the hadith are statement of Ubay ibn Ka'b and Ka'b al-Ahbar, I'm sorry, and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As in the book called Kitab al-Fitan li Nu'aym ibn Muhammad. But somehow you will always find a base in an authentic hadith somewhere. Now, what will happen, brothers, and if we do have sisters in the crowd, the first major signs of the day of judgment would emerge, and that would be something called the smoke. Well, the Prophet ﷺ named 10 major signs of the day of judgment. Hadith Hudhayfa ibn Asid al-Ghifari, دخل علينا رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم Muslim, that one day the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم entered into the masjid and he found us sitting in a circle and studying something. Then he asked us, what are you studying? قلنا نذاكر الساعة يا رسول الله, we're studying the hour. Then he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, إنها لن تأتي حتى ترون قبلها عشر آيات. It will not come until you see 10 major signs. وسمى الدجال, الدخان, الدابة, نزول عيسى, يأجوج ومأجوج, طلوع الشمس من مغربها, ثلاث خسوف, three landslides, one in the east, one in the west, one in the Arabian Peninsula, and the last of them is the fire which will come out of Yemen. So those are 10. Now, the Prophet did not mention or dictate or identify the order of these signs. But obviously, the first sign that will happen is the smoke. What is the smoke? This world will be covered with a smoke that the sun will not come out. The hadith is weak regarding the number of days, 40 days. But considerable number of days that the world will be without a sun, so that we're going to go back to that ice age again. The world and a lot of people will die. And we're going to lose that technology. We're going to go back to square one. And that's why when we read a hadith al-Mahdi, we're talking about swords, horses. We're back to square one. And ya ikhwa, subhanAllah, is one of the things that really strikes me is when I read this hadith, although I offer the authentication of that wording, that there will be three sons of caliphs fighting over the treasures of the Kaaba. Okay, one of the things that they said, okay, this is king, the living king of Saudi Arabia now, and the three sons of it. Again, that's when you know you become academic. Come on, these are kings. They are not khalifas. You know, some people attribute this is the children are going to fight, so this is al-Mahdi time. No. You see, that's where the mistake is. These are kings. They belong to the Jabri governance era, phase, not to the Khilaf al-Rashida. No. So the Prophet said, what? Then there will be black flags coming from the east. In that army, there will be al-Mahdi. Al-Mahdi will be in that army. Look what the Prophet ﷺ said. Go and give him bay'ah, even if you crawl on what? On what? Snow.
You know, I never thought about it. I never thought about it.
Snow? How would the Prophet say snow in the Arabia? It's always been what? Hot, like desert. But that's... as if Allah is revealing the scene for him, basically. The analysis that I used in my book, I know you told me five. I need just three more minutes. Yeah? Yeah, three more minutes. No, I have to. We have to respect. We have to go home. We should break Fajr, you know. We can't just stay until midnight and then miss on Fajr, right? It doesn't make any sense. So... after the death of the sixth caliph, there will be fighting, a lot of bloodshed in the ummah. And subhanAllah, one of the things that really got me thinking, that I found out that al-Mahdi is the seventh caliphs, and then what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about his emergence, he said he will come to fill earth with justice after earth has been filled with what? Injustice.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.